Welcome, dear listeners, to our scary stories. As the night descends and shadows stretch, we invite you to pull your blankets close and dim the lights. For tonight, we delve into tales that may very well lurk in the dark corners of our reality. Whether fact or fiction, we'll let you decide. But remember, sometimes the most terrifying tales are the ones we tell ourselves. So, are you ready to be unnerved? The old Tremaine Manor stood atop a hill, a gothic silhouette against the crimson backdrop of the setting sun. Its dark spires and turrets bore witness to many a Halloween, but this year was special. This year, it was the site of the most talked about haunted house attraction in the county. Vines clung to the walls of the manor, and iron gates screeched in agony when pushed. The air carried the scent of damp earth, and the murmur of hushed whispers traveled with the wind. Somewhere, an owl hooted, marking the hour of twilight. Mina stood at a distance, scribbling notes into her pocketbook. Her eyes, sharp and questioning, scanned the manor. She had covered countless stories in her journalistic career, but something about this place felt different. Built on an old burial ground, they say, murmured a passerby, noticing her interest. But you know how these Halloween gimmicks work. All show and no truth. She smirked, rumors do make for a good story. Near the entrance, Daniel, cloaked in a tattered robe and painted face, was immersing himself into his role. He practiced his haunting moans, occasionally giving attendees playful frights as they waited in line. His once cheerful blue eyes now carried an eerie glow, an indication of his dedication to his ghostly role. Lucas, along with his boisterous group of friends, chatted animatedly. They dared each other to enter the manor first, with playful shoves and challenges thrown about. I bet this won't be scarier than last year's maze, Lucas declared, feigning bravado. Overlooking the crowd was Clara, the mastermind behind this attraction. A tall, poised woman with raven black hair, she watched with a mix of pride and apprehension. She had put her heart and soul into turning the manor into the ultimate house of horrors. Each room was a meticulously crafted scene from nightmares, and she couldn't wait for the attendees to experience it. The sun had now retreated, allowing darkness to claim the evening. Old lanterns came to life, casting dancing shadows on the cobblestone path leading to the entrance. The cold evening air grew thick with anticipation. The chattering of the attendees was punctuated with gasps, giggles, and the distant eerie sounds from the manor. A horn blared, signaling the beginning of the night's festivities. Clara stepped forward, her voice amplified as she addressed the crowd. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Tremaine Manor. The legends you've heard might be true, or they might just be tales. Will you brave the unknown? With that, the gates opened. One by one, groups made their way inside, their chatter gradually muffled by the heavy wooden door that closed behind them. The real adventure had begun. Lucas, taking the lead of his group, stepped into the dimly lit foyer. The creaking floor beneath, the distant whispering echoes, and the soft flicker of candles playing tricks on the eyes, set the mood. It was a world where reality blended seamlessly with fantasy. Mina, notepad in hand, joined a group, her skeptical eyes watching every move, every reaction. And Daniel, he glided from one shadow to another, his spectral moan sending shivers down many a spine. As the attendees explored, little did they know that beneath their feet lay a history, dormant and waiting. For in the dark corners of the Tremaine Manor, legends were more than just stories. The air grew colder as Lucas and his friends ventured deeper into Tremaine Manor. Dim candlelight illuminated faded tapestries and portraits of stern-faced ancestors. Every footstep echoed in the vast corridors, mingling with distant sounds of chains rattling and ghostly moans. I told you this place would be tame, Lucas teased, nudging his friend Jeremy. Hold on, Emily, the most observant of the group, whispered. She pointed to a peculiar-looking wall. Its bricks seemed mismatched, almost as if they were hurriedly put together to conceal something. Curiosity piqued, the group approached. A small emblem in the shape of a raven, different from the other decorations, caught Lucas's eye. On an impulse, he pressed it. A grinding noise reverberated through the hallway as the concealed bricks shifted, revealing a narrow passage. The atmosphere inside felt ancient, untouched by time. Masonry was more primitive, and the air carried the musky scent of old books and moss. The group exchanged glances, a silent agreement passing between them. This unexpected discovery was too tempting to resist. Torch in hand, Lucas led the way, its flame casting a warm, orange glow. The walls were lined with inscriptions, some in languages long forgotten. As they moved forward, the passage seemed to descend, leading them to an ornately carved wooden door. A symbol, a circle surrounded by intertwining vines, was etched at its center. "Looks like we've stumbled onto a part they didn't plan to include in the tour," Jeremy remarked, a hint of nervousness in his voice. Lucas, eager and fearless, pushed the door. It gave way with a reluctant groan, revealing a vast crypt. Stone sarcophagi were neatly arranged, and overhead, a dome showcased a faded fresco depicting a dance of hooded figures around a bonfire. In the silence of the crypt, an almost inaudible whisper seemed to drift from the shadows. It sounded like a lament, the soft sigh of a restless soul. "Did you hear that?" Emily's voice trembled. "It's probably just part of the show," Lucas reasoned, trying to sound confident. "You know, speakers hidden somewhere to give the whole haunted vibe." But something felt different. The whispers seemed too genuine, too sorrowful to be a mere soundtrack. Wanting to shake off the unease, Jeremy joked, "Well, if this isn't a part of the tour, Clara sure missed out on an opportunity." The group chuckled, the tension momentarily lifted. They made their way back to the main path of the attraction, leaving the crypt and its secrets behind. But the eerie whispers of the crypt, though dismissed, left an indelible mark on their minds, setting the stage for the horrors that awaited. The atmosphere in Tremaine Manor was electric. With each twist and turn, attendees experienced a new thrill. Ghastly figures lurked in shadows, ghoulish laughter echoed, and chilling touches grazed unsuspecting visitors. Little did they know, amongst these horrors lurked real nightmares. From the depths of the crypt, figures began to emerge. At first glance, they seemed no different from the other actors. Their movements were slow, methodical. Decaying clothes hung off their bony frames, and vacant eyes stared ahead, void of any emotion. Amidst the fog and dim lighting, the line between reality and showmanship blurred. When a rotting hand reached out to grab an attendee, it was met with laughter. "Nice try." One visitor chuckled, shaking off what he thought was a well-played act. An actress named Rose, dressed as a banshee, was standing in her designated corner when she felt a tug on her costume. Thinking it was another actor or perhaps an overly enthusiastic guest, she turned with a smile. Her scream, when she faced one of the undead, was piercing, full of genuine terror. Before she could escape, the creature bit down on her arm, drawing blood. Her cries merged with the ambient sounds of the manor. At first, most assumed it was part of her act. But as she staggered out into the open, clutching her bleeding arm, reality dawned. The manor descended into chaos. Daniel, still in his ghostly guise, noticed the frenzy. Seeing Rose's injury, he rushed to her side, attempting to lead her to safety. "We need to get out," she gasped. Elsewhere, Lucas and his friends stumbled upon another scene of horror. An undead creature, once a nobleman by the looks of his tattered finery, was attacking a group of attendees. The realization hit them hard. This wasn't part of the show. Mina, her journalist instincts kicking in, began snapping photos. The gravity of the situation, however, quickly halted her documentation. She grabbed a nearby prop, a sturdy candlestick, and wielded it defensively. The manor's once enchanting halls turned treacherous. Every corner posed a new threat. The undead, with their relentless hunger, continued their slow but persistent pursuit of the living. Clara, hearing the genuine screams and cries, frantically tried to regain control. Over the PA system, her voice tried to cut through the pandemonium. "Everyone, please head to the nearest exit. This is not a drill." But the maze-like design of Tremaine Manor, meant to thrill and confuse, now became its curse. As the living tried to escape and the dead sought their prey, the manor's walls bore witness to a terror they had never known. As the screams and terror intensified, pockets of survivors formed throughout Tremaine Manor. Attendees, once strangers, now clung to each other for comfort and safety. The actors, initially hired to scare, took on the roles of protectors. In one dimly lit ballroom, a large group found temporary refuge. The heavy drapes and ornate furniture barricaded the doors, keeping the undead at bay for the moment. Daniel, shedding the ethereal chains of his ghostly costume, stood atop a platform. "Listen," he shouted, his voice cutting through the panicked murmurs. "I know this place inside out. There are tunnels and secret passages. We can use them to our advantage." Lucas and his friends, flushed and breathless, joined the assembly. He locked eyes with Daniel and gave a nod of understanding. Now was the time for unity, not discord. Clara, face ashen, admitted her folly. I was told of the legends of the crypt's curse, but it was just a story, a tale to boost our attraction's lore. Regret was evident in her eyes, I never imagined. A few attendees shot her angry glares, but most understood that blame wouldn't help them now. Survival was the priority. Mina, ever the journalist, realized the weight of their ordeal. While others sought escape, she began interviewing survivors, capturing raw emotions and details of the outbreak. Her camera clicked and whirred, its flash intermittently illuminating the room's grim atmosphere. Daniel, meanwhile, sketched out a rough blueprint of the manor on an old poster. There's an underground passageway that leads to the gardens, he explained, tracing the route with his finger. It'll be tight, and not without its dangers, but it's our best shot. Lucas interjected, we need weapons, anything to defend ourselves. A frantic search began, with attendees brandishing candelabras, curtain rods, and other makeshift weapons. Clara, seeking redemption, approached Daniel. The control room has surveillance. We can see their movements, anticipate where they'll be. Time was of the essence. As plans were formed and alliances made, the haunting moans of the undead grew louder, reminding everyone of the lurking peril. The escape was about to begin, and every heartbeat, every breath, was now a stolen moment in the shadow of the advancing doom. The chilling silence of Tremaine Manor was occasionally shattered by the haunting cries of the undead. Within its darkened hallways, the group moved cautiously, their senses heightened to every creak and whisper. Yet, even as the external threat loomed, internal discord began to fester. A murmur rippled through the group when Martha, a schoolteacher attending the event, noticed a reddish mark on one attendee's arm. Look, she whispered harshly, pointing accusingly. He's been bitten. The accused, a young man named Jared, immediately became defensive. It's just a scratch from a nail in the wall. I swear. But distrustful eyes bore into him, and the group's unity began to fray. Lucas felt every weighty glance that came his way, the silent blame from those who knew he and his friends had stumbled upon the crypt. He could feel the heaviness of his guilt, like chains wrapped around his chest. I never meant for this, he confessed to Daniel, his voice quivering. But I'll do everything I can to make it right. Daniel, always the voice of reason, nodded appreciatively. Now's the time for action, not blame. We need to get everyone out, and every hand helps. Navigating the twisted corridors was no easy feat. At one point, as they were passing through an ornate mirror room, reflections betrayed them. The undead appeared suddenly, their grotesque forms multiplying in the maze of reflections. Mike, a burly mechanic, swung his makeshift weapon, a hefty iron rod, connecting with a zombie's head. The creature crumpled, but more were quick to take its place. Watch their eyes. Mina yelled. They seem sensitive to light. She flashed her camera, momentarily blinding and disorienting the encroaching undead, providing the group a few precious seconds to regroup and escape. As they continued, Clara offered a piece of advice. They're slow but relentless. We need to think, outpace, and outsmart them. The struggles weren't just physical, they were mental. Trust had become a rare commodity. Every cough, every stumble was viewed with suspicion. But in these dire circumstances, the group began to realize they had only each other. Lucas, stepping up to his promise, began directing people, using his knowledge from earlier exploration. This way, he urged, guiding a subset of the group through a shortcut. The undead weren't the only adversaries. Time was slipping away, and the manor felt more oppressive with each passing minute. As walls seemed to close in, the group's determination grew. The external threat had ignited an internal fire, a will to survive. A real battle, it seemed, had only just begun. Inside a secluded chamber, ornate carvings depicting morose faces decorated the walls, and at the center lay an old wooden table. Atop the table, under layers of dust and cobwebs, lay a leather-bound journal. Its pages, though yellowed with age, held secrets that might be the key to their salvation. Daniel carefully opened the journal, revealing intricate sketches and scribbles. It's the diary of Lord Tremaine, the original owner of the manor, he whispered, skimming through the entries. One page, marked with a crimson seal, caught Mina's eye. What's this? She asked, pointing to an entry titled Seal of the Damned. Reading aloud, Daniel began, to seal the crypt and the restless souls within. A ritual of the olden ways must be performed. Four artifacts hold the power, the Candle of Shadows, the Dagger of Despair, the Locket of Lost Souls, and the Vial of Veiled Blood. The team shared a collective understanding. To save themselves and potentially others, they must find these artifacts. Lucas took charge. We don't have much time. We need to split up. Drawing a map on a torn piece of paper, he quickly marked potential locations for the artifacts based on Lord Tremaine's riddles. Mina and Clara ventured towards the attic, searching for the Locket of Lost Souls, described as resting where memories gather dust. As they tiptoed through the cluttered attic, an undead servant, once loyal to the Tremaines, lunged at them. Clara, using her knowledge of the house's history, whispered a lullaby once sung to the servant, briefly calming the creature and allowing them a narrow escape with the locket in hand. Mike and Martha headed to the gardens for the vial of veiled blood. The riddle mentioned a life essence held where roses weep. Amidst thorny roses, they found an ornate vial, but not without stirring a horde of undead gardeners, from which they barely managed to flee. Daniel and Lucas, meanwhile, delved deeper into the manor's bowels, seeking the dagger of despair. Under the gaze of the moon's reflection, the riddle read. In a subterranean pool room, illuminated only by a moonlit skylight, the dagger awaited. But so did an undead aquatic creature, once a marvel of the manor. A game of stealth ensued as they carefully retrieved the dagger and escaped the creature's blind, yet keenly sensed pursuits. Lastly, the Candle of Shadows was hidden where laughter once echoed. Thinking quickly, Lucas remembered an old ballroom. Racing against time, they entered the grand space, finding the candle amidst remnants of old parties. But the echoes of laughter were replaced by the undead's mournful groans. Using wit and agility, they outmaneuvered the creatures, securing the final artifact. Regrouping, the team, battered but resolute, held the artifacts tightly. The next step was to use them to seal away the undead menace. But with the horde growing and time dwindling, their greatest challenge still lay ahead. A dim torchlight at the entrance of the crypt flickered, casting elongated shadows that danced with every gust of wind. The artifacts, pulsating with energy, were placed in a circular formation as described in Lord Tremaine's journal. The air grew colder, a sign that the undead were drawing near. From the distance, a moaning wind carried with it the undeniable scent of decay. The undead were no longer mere trickles, but a flood. Their hollowed eyes, devoid of any semblance of life, were set on the group, and the entrance to the crypt became the backdrop of their last stand. Mike, wielding a broken banister as a makeshift staff, stepped forward. "We need to hold them off long enough to complete the ritual," he declared, whacking the first approaching zombie squarely in the chest. Martha, having fashioned a whip from drapery cords, lashed out, keeping several of the creatures at bay. Their once elegant gowns and refined suits, now tattered and blood-streaked, told a sorrowful tale of the manor's tragic history. Daniel began to chant from the journal, his voice authoritative and unwavering, the words echoing through the crypt in an almost melodic rhythm. Mina, with her camera at the ready, decided to shift her focus from documentation to action. Using the camera's flash, she temporarily blinded clusters of zombies, slowing their advance. Lucas, guilt-fueling his determination, fiercely guarded Clara, ensuring that the ritual's preparation went unhindered. They arranged the artifacts as the journal instructed. The Candle of Shadows was lit. The Dagger of Despair was positioned pointing north. The Locket of Lost Souls was opened, and the Vial of Veiled Blood was poured into a small ornate bowl in the center of their formation. As the ritual progressed, the intensity of the undead's onslaught grew. Mike, after battling valiantly, got overwhelmed and, in his last act, detonated a gas lamp, causing an explosion that thinned the horde but took him with them. Martha, tears streaming, shouted in defiance for Mike and continued her relentless defense. The ground beneath them trembled slightly, a soft hum emanating from the artifacts. The undead, sensing the power of the ritual, grew more frenzied. Clara, reading the final incantation aloud with Daniel, felt the weight of every word, knowing the fate of all rested on their shoulders. Lucas, using the Dagger of Despair, drew a protective line in the ground around them, while Mina held the Locket of Lost Souls high, capturing the moonlight in a dazzling display. The air grew thick, almost electric. In the final moments of the ritual, as the undead closed in, a blinding light emitted from the center of their circle. The creatures, momentarily halted, began to disintegrate into ash, their mournful cries replaced by a serene silence. As the dust settled, the group, exhausted and emotionally spent, looked around. The crypt was sealed once more, the artifacts glow dimming. Their ordeal had ended, but the scars of that fateful night would remain forever etched in their memories. The first light of dawn painted the horizon in hues of pink and gold. The once foreboding mansion, which had been a theater of unspeakable horror mere hours before, now stood silent, seemingly humbled by the morning sun. Emerging from its wooden entrance were the survivors, each step heavy with fatigue, but lightened by the hope of the new day. Their clothes were torn, their faces smeared with dirt and sweat, but their spirits, though bruised, remained unbroken. As they made their way out, Clara gazed back at the mansion. "No one will ever set foot in there again," she whispered with determination. "This place is to be forgotten." Lucas, the weight of the night's actions still heavy on his conscience, sighed in agreement. "We should make sure of it." Mina, ever the journalist, had a different perspective. "People need to know what happened here. They need to know the truth." She clutched her camera, the only witness to the night's horrors. With it, she would weave a narrative that would captivate the world. Months passed, and Mina's account of that harrowing night became a best-selling book titled The Night of the Zombified Zone. It was met with both awe and skepticism. Critics raved about its chilling narrative and attention to detail, while skeptics dismissed it as an imaginative work of fiction, a product of an overactive mind. The haunted house, a testament to man's dance with the supernatural, was shut down. Overgrown weeds and vines slowly claimed the structure, and as the years passed, it was reclaimed by nature, its dark secrets buried deep within. However, as is often the case, legends have a way of living on. Whispers of a real haunted crypt began to circulate, this time in a town far removed from the original haunted house. Eager thrill seekers, their appetites whetted by Mina's book, began to seek out this new locale, hoping to experience the terror for themselves. In a dimly lit room, a group of young adventurers huddled over a map, their fingers tracing the path to the rumored location. "Are you sure about this?" asked one nervously. Another smirked, "Don't you want to experience a real haunted crypt?" And so, as the wheel of fate continues to turn, the insatiable curiosity of mankind beckons them once more into the abyss of the unknown. The question remains, is the curse truly contained, or does it lurk in the shadows, waiting for its next victim? And so, our tale comes to an end. Sleep tight, dear listeners, and keep those you cherish close. For in the world of our scary stories, the line between reality and nightmare is ever so thin. Until next time, when we'll unearth another tale from the abyss, remember, darkness is but a heartbeat away. This is our scary stories signing off for tonight.